Hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and we're going to do an amazing little podcast today with my good friend and model, Seda Ward. Seda has been modeling for quite a few years now, but I've really enjoyed seeing your growth and seeing you develop and seeing you break into modeling with your passion. So welcome.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to hear all your modeling secrets.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Hi, everyone. It's good to be here. I'm honored to be here. I've been coming to Dr. K for a few years now,
yeah.
I would say, for some beauty touch-ups.
Beauty touch-ups,
that helps me,
yes,
in the modeling world.
Seda's very transparent about using injectables, Botox, fillers, small micro doses of everything, of course, and just keeping super natural but super maintained.
Yeah, I think it's important. So starting off for modeling, the number one thing you need is confidence. So I feel like when you look good, you feel good, and that confidence exudes from you, and you can better tackle any opportunity that comes your way.
Definitely.
So getting little touch-ups like a little bit of Botox, a little bit of filler, makes me feel my best. Look my best.
I think that's so important. Now, you started modeling when everyone told you you couldn't be a model.
Yes.
And what was that struggle like? Because I know that people who are listening, many of you out there, are so gorgeous and you have aspirations to get into modeling. So what does it take to be a model, and how do you break in?
So I looked back recently and I started trying to pursue runway modeling 10 years ago. So I've been doing runway for 10 years, which is a very long time. When I initially started out, there's obviously a lot of requirements that go into being a model. The requirements were a lot stricter when I first started versus now it's a little more open. But when I first started, it's just a matter of trial and error. You can't take anything personally.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take the rejection to heart because it's not necessarily you. It's just you not fitting into what they're looking for that specific campaign, shoot, runway show, etc. So starting off, I really loved modeling, so I would just strut in my bedroom with a camera, a phone, a laptop camera,
mm-hmm.
and just really, really build that confidence and build my walk. I think I have a very strong walk, which helps me now, despite
mm-hmm.
my height.
And that takes practice, right?
That takes practice.
So much practice. I
yeah.
watch these Instagram channels where, like, I love this one guy in Thailand. His name is Luke.
Oh, I think I
don't remember his full account name.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. But he's like, walks better than any woman.
Yeah.
And he's
no, he does.
Such great posture, confidence, poise, and
yeah.
strut.
And I think, for me, I taught myself, but I think if you need the assistance, take courses, but also be very mindful of who's teaching you, because a lot of times it's just a money grab and they genuinely don't know what's needed for the runway.
Mm-hmm.
There's Coco Roche.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's excellent at it, a little pricier, but she has videos across social media where she kind of helps you with posing and walking, so that's really helpful. But I taught myself. I went out and looked for 6-inch heels, which really didn't exist on the market.
Really?
10 years ago. I could not find a single pair. Now it's everywhere because it's more
so that's
common.
Your standard 6-inch
yeah.
heels.
I'm wearing 6 inches right now.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'3".
Oh, okay. See, there's hope for short girls who want to get into models.
Yeah.
Modeling. Do you have to have that 6 inches of extra height, you think?
I 100% think I do. It's a little more accepting now, but again, it's nowhere where it needs to be for height.
Mm-hmm.
So the modeling industry has opened up more for like body standards, weight standards, beauty standards, but height is still pretty, pretty rigid.
Mm, so you have to be a giraffe. We
you have to be a giraffe.
About.
Yeah.
You have to be
a
giraffe. 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
And often blonde or, you know, blonde or blue-eyed, it used to be the American gold standard for, like, all beauty. But now beauty has evolved to have many different colors, shapes,
yeah.
and sizes. Are you seeing that truly on the runway? Like, the openness to different shapes and body images are
yeah, so
broader?
Definitely broader on, like, physical beauty, body styles, etc. So that's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you don't see a lot of shorter models on the runway.
Okay.
I think when you do swim weeks, those are a little bit more accepting, but to do like proper high fashion, LA Fashion Week, London Fashion Week, Miami, New York, you still need to have a certain height or at least fake it till you make it,
mm-hmm.
which is why I have 100 pair of 6-inch heels.
Mm-hmm.
They look like you can't tell they're 6 inches because they're still thin heels,
mm-hmm.
very uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
but I go into an audition with 6 inches. If I book a job or book a runway show, I show up in my 6 inches and stay the whole day in 6 inches, even in the makeup chair, because I don't ever want to put myself at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, taller girls will show up with like slides and be super duper comfy, but I always want to present myself as taller because you are never guaranteed until you walk on the runway. You can always be replaced. You can always be unbooked. You can have a designer fit you.
Yeah, that sucks.
You can show up and have a designer say that someone else might fit the look that was meant for you better. So you don't book. So I stay 6 inches tall as much as I can.
There's something true to that. Like when you put your heels on, it adds a layer of superpower. I don't know why, but like when, of course, when I'm lecturing, I'm never in flats. I'm always in heels. So I don't know why that gives us stature and confidence, but it sure does.
Yeah. I think being taller makes you just feel more powerful too.
Yeah, it changes the shapeliness of the calf. I guess it changes your back arch a little bit.
Stay more posture.
Wait, what are your posture tricks? Because that for me is huge. I think I slump my shoulders. I think I'm always bending down and into my laptop patient or like surgical field. So what do you recommend?
I think doing exercises to strengthen your back is
really
helpful. So I am on my phone 24 hours a day as well, just for work, social media, etc. So I
Right, exactly.
I will hunch little by little too, but anytime I notice it, I try and lift up and then do exercises where throughout the day I'm kind of strengthening those back muscles. So no matter what, it like
scapping is back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
And then you don't feel like it protrudes your breast forward too much, because I was telling my daughter that the other day, like, put your scapulas back. She's like, Mom, it'll look like I'm putting my boobs out in the universe. Like,
yeah,
it feels awkward.
I saw a posture video on Instagram a while back that made me change the way I think about it, because she was like, don't put your chest out, because a lot of people think this is good posture. And she said what you want to do is just lift up and then tighten your core. So it's like a subtle, but not your chest.
Okay.
Yeah, just shoulders back, but core in.
Oh, okay.
So you stay like this versus this.
Yeah, I think if you do that isometric core tightening throughout the day, it really helps you.
Yeah.
So good. Did you actually practice with a broomstick or a stack of books on your head when you're walking and do all those things that we see in the movies?
No, I've never done anything like that. I just make sure that I can sprint in my high heels.
Sprint. So you practice sprinting and going around the track.
Not actually sprinting, but just like I want to make sure I'm comfortable no matter how high the heel.
So you don't break an ankle.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes you'll even show up and they'll have like monstrous high heels with no heel backing. So you're just like on your tippy toes. And a lot of women will struggle backstage if they're not used to being in high heels because they're already tall. Whereas I stay in 6-inch heels. So
you've developed all the muscles supporting that.
My legs don't get sore anymore, don't get tired, because I'm just keeping them acclimated to being like...
So when you first showed up for auditions, people said no a lot.
Yeah.
And was that because of your mindset, you think? Because your height hasn't changed, your physical appearance hasn't changed.
I think it was how accepting the industry was at first.
Okay.
Because I would get messages or DMs from like LA models, elite models, etc., saying, we love your look, please come in. And then I would go into the open call and I wouldn't make it past the door because there's a sheet where you write your name, your height, your phone number.
Oh.
So I was very honest with my height.
Oh, so they just weeded you out based on height?
Immediately. So my look was good. My height was not.
So now do we fudge our height, or do we just like...
I fudge my height for sure, because another
thing
is...
You might as well write your heel height.
Right? I do. So another thing is when you have comp cards, and I've made a lot of designer friends over the years, they say, to be honest, we look at the height, and if it's not what we want, we will immediately throw away the card. We won't look at anything else.
Oh my gosh.
So I've started fudging my height on my comp cards. I aim for like 5'6", because I am really lean. I can pass for 5'6", and then I'll put like 5'11" with heels.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. So I put a little in parentheses on the comp card, and I feel like that has helped a lot, because they see that, they're a little bit more accepting of that, and then they'll go on to look at the rest.
With heels.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. That's
and they'll look at
advice.
The rest of my thing.
We're giving you good advice, models out there, early models out there. How about, like, you're Armenian.
Yes.
I think that Kim Kardashian has done everything for Armenian culture and, like, showcasing, you know, more than just blonde beauty, because I grew up in an era of 17 magazine where every beautiful teen pop star was blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah.
And, like, you were never going to see a short, dark-haired Armenian girl on the cover of anything.
Yeah.
And now we have the entire Kardashian family. They're all so petite. If you meet them in person, remember, they're very petite.
Yeah.
5'3", like you. And, like, they're killing it. So I'm so proud of them. But how do you think that that ethnicity has affected you, or has it? Maybe it hasn't.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's unique.
Yeah, I think the uniqueness adds a lot of advantages because you do see a lot of models that look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having those dark features and having people like the Kardashians and Kendall Jenner and all of that come out and show that that's an aesthetic of beauty that is very sought after helps, because when I go into an audition room, they're like, okay,
mm-hmm.
we like this look.
Mm-hmm.
We see this look is very popular, so it adds a little bit of benefit.
Mm.
And it's always good, I think, to be any type of beauty is perfect, whatever you are, but being ethnically ambiguous, I think, has its advantages because you don't fit into a certain pocket,
mm-hmm.
so it's more flexible as to where you can fit into.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So, like, sophisticated, elegant brunette works in many different
yeah.
cultures. You could pass for
yeah.
probably Persian, Italian, like anything, you know.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or white. Like,
yeah.
you'll never
Caucasian.
Know.
You would never know. But what other struggles did you encounter? Is there still some sexism or feeling that women are made to strut their goodies?
Yeah. It's a very hard industry. It still is. Some advice if you're starting out is to, one, never go to photo shoots alone.
Mm-hmm.
Never do photo shoots with someone who you don't really know, who isn't vetted or isn't professional. So starting out, people will message you for shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I would only go with someone who I know someone else had worked with, and I would still then bring a friend. In the beginning, it was my parent, my mom, just to be safe, because there's a lot of people out here that will pose as like photographers, casting agents, etc., and promise you the world,
mm-hmm.
but it might not be a safe situation, so
mm-hmm.
always bring a buddy. I think the industry itself, at least runway, is still a popularity game,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate. So a lot of the productions have their favorites,
mm-hmm.
their friends, the people who party with them, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
and I've never been a party person.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with strict Armenian parents, so that's not really my scene. But you'll tend to see the people that are in the clique more will book and book and book and book.
Mm-hmm.
The rest are like always still fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
That's a little bit of a struggle. You have to be okay with not making any money.
Yeah.
That's another thing. From like 10 years of doing runway, I've probably made a few $100s.
What?
In all of those years of runway, yeah. A
Damn.
Lot of this, you make zero. Makeup artists don't make anything.
So you're just doing it for the presence and reputation building, brand building.
Exactly. Like, you hope to build
on
it.
You have your
side
gig. You have your side hustle. This is your side.
Yeah.
Your thing.
Exactly.
But you have something that keeps you going on the other side. What do you
exactly.
do on the other side?
So I do social media and marketing for several
mm-hmm.
companies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I do, like, you have your social media team. I do that for companies. So I'll post for them, go record for them, go run their events,
mm-hmm.
go do their paid ads, their TikToks, their commercial ads, etc.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good overlap, I think.
Yeah. No, it like plays together really well because it also helps me build my social media because I know visually what does well, what goes viral, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used my following to also help me with modeling because I think you need to attack it at different angles. If you're really short and petite like me,
mm-hmm.
I think build your presence, build your following,
mm-hmm.
and that also assists.
And how do you recommend that people hustle to get more exposure? Like, it's hard to get a brand deal these
yeah.
days. It's really hard. Or is it easy?
I think it's hard, but you have to choose something that you love. A lot of people will choose something that has a shock factor,
mm-hmm.
that's not always the best representation, so a brand might not necessarily want to work with you if you do something like silly and outlandish,
mm-hmm.
even though it gets a lot of views. So choose something you really like, whether that's like beauty, fashion, fitness, comedy, and then just start building it on your own. And as you start building it on your own, you'll see that people who do the same thing and maybe are in like a similar stage as you will want to work with you. And then you build up a little more, and then you can work with people who have a little bit of a higher following, and then build up.
Right, that's
yeah.
good advice. What percentage of the modeling world would you say is getting things done? Because I feel like when we look and scroll on our phones, we're seeing this feed that everyone's organic, drinking green juice, and they're all natural beauties. But then I see the other side because they come and sit in my chair. And so, like, would you say that it's ubiquitous? Everybody is basically getting Botox and fillers?
I would say so.
pretty much.
Yeah. I think like not everyone wants to be as transparent about it and think they were just a natural beauty.
Yes, they're just here getting a facial.
Exactly. Whereas some people are more honest about it so that you don't look at it and think like, why don't I look like that and feel bad about yourself? So I would say most people have had fillers, Botox, and just don't share it.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you think it hinders you in any way? Like sometimes you go to a shoot, if there's someone that's got like too much filler, too obvious of a lip, is that gonna affect their chances of being a successful model?
If it's too much, I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I haven't really come across someone where it's too done.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're all good about getting it done. Some look better than others. If you come to Dr. K, yours is gonna look very natural and beautiful. But yeah, it also depends on what it is. When it comes to like runway, let's say, I think super juicy lips, etc., they don't mind it.
Okay.
But for like a high fashion campaign, they're not going to want someone who has
right.
crazy work done, because the more minimal, the better.
Yeah, it's about the Chanel, not about the lips.
Exactly.
So can't, lips have to blend.
Yeah, you have to be the blank canvas.
You literally have to be a blank canvas. Maybe that's why they choose the tall height, because the clothes hang well and they're cut for a certain size torso and leg length and all that, right?
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
But like the majority of the human population doesn't have that body type.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks very beautiful on that body type.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How much body dysmorphia is there where models are so critical of their own appearance?
A lot. I would say it's better from like when I've been backstage. It's a lot better than it was before. But I remember when I was starting out, there would be models who are like chewing on ice. And that's all they wanted to eat, and they would not eat anything the whole run of show or the whole day.
Yes.
I'm not like that. I'm teeny tiny, so I need fuel
mm-hmm.
to feel good. But there's a mix with that, I think, still.
Yeah.
Where people aren't doing it in healthy habits.
My kids went to a private school in LA, Harvard Westlake, and my daughters would come home and tell me about it's the rice and ice diet, Mom. You just have rice and ice. That's
no.
it. I was like horrified as a mom to hear that.
Yeah,
like kids in high school having rice and ice, can you imagine?
No.
But it starts early.
Yeah.
And like, is there still a skinniness craze where people are anorexic, bulimic, or like overdoing semaglutide shots, the Ozempic weight loss shots?
Oh.
Is that going around the modeling scene?
Not that I've noticed.
They're already skinny to start with.
I was going
to
say they're already skinny. There might be like they want to get skinny,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't heard or seen anything about like
nothing too
exception.
Much
yeah
and
they just are restrictive with what they eat.
Hopefully you don't have too much bulimia or anorexia happening as well.
Yeah, not that I've seen lately.
Okay.
When I started out I saw
a
lot.
I think that can be a real serious problem. Like with some of our weight loss shot patients, they come in and they're starting, some of them can get a little gaunt and like then they really crave that like love to be skinny feeling. So it's a fine line. Like image in your brain needs to be monitored to make sure you're not getting body dysmorphia.
Yeah, and even me, before I do like a swim week, I cut even further down and I'm already small.
Yeah.
But it's just because I think seeing like the Bella Hadids of the world who are like super duper lean, it makes you just look longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to not want to be like teeny, teeny, tiny.
It's
you have
true
to do it
that the camera adds 10 pounds.
Yeah.
It's so true, because when you see people in person, they are very much more skinny than they look on camera.
Yeah, no, that aspect is
that's so
crazy,
right?
Yeah,
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Even for photography, like, you have to be even smaller than you think because the camera will add 10 pounds.
Yeah, maybe the 2D adds that flat dimension.
Yeah,
you
see it
like...
and you're like, I looked better in person. That's another thing you have to keep in mind is looking ugly. When you do shows, I talk about shows because that's what I do the most, but when you do shows, the photographers at the end of the runway are not always vetted, depending
mm-hmm.
on the production.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see a photo of the same exact runway at the end where you look stunning, and then you'll see one where you look hideous. But it's the lighting, the quality, the angle, so it depends on that. So you have to be comfortable not looking your best at all times. Like, I've had to accept that, and I didn't love that before.
So you have to accept a little bit of ugliness in life.
Yeah.
That's like a philosophy, right?
I know.
Right
I don't
there.
Love it, but it's...
It's reality,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think when I stopped caring what I look like on camera, on social media, I felt much more at ease with just showing up as me.
Yeah.
And like, you have to do that as a model too. You're like, I'm beautiful. And it doesn't matter how the camera grabs me. Like, some days it grabs great. Other days the light rays don't bend correctly.
Yeah. No, exactly. Like, you have to just be confident in who you are and comfortable, and the rest will be the rest. Especially with everything nowadays, social media is so saturated that you can have whatever picture of you that 10 photographers took just pop up on the feed. So you have to
you can't wreck your self-esteem and confidence by self-critique so much.
Yeah, and you can't regulate everything, so you have to just...
Yeah. Who are your favorite models that you, like, really adore?
Bella Hadid and Kendall Jenner are my top two.
And you look just like both of them.
Thank you. I love their walk. I love the strength. I love the confidence.
Yeah.
I love the aesthetic.
It's a whole persona that you have to put on, because I think if you meet Bella Hadid in person, she's a very shy, timid person.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Just in interviews.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you put on your armor, which is your makeup and your clothing and your glam, and then you go on attack.
Yeah. Even with me, I'm like very, very down to earth and friendly in person, but when you see me walk on a runway, it's like,
you'd be like scared.
Yeah, because I'm very, very intense.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So
where do you get that intensity? You need to channel that from somewhere.
Just internally, I don't know. I've always looked up to very, very strong characters, even in like movies. Like, I love the Angelina Jolie type.
Exactly.
So I grew up wanting to channel that strength. I have a very, very strong mom.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very like
Fierce.
Yeah.
And you're a boxer too.
Yeah. And I'm a boxer. That's another great thing to do. Like, if you want good self-esteem and you want to pursue some kind of form of modeling, stay fit.
Mm-hmm.
Be healthy, but stay fit. So I found...
And be strong.
Be strong.
More than skinny, be strong.
Yeah. I don't love seeing when people look like you can break them in a second.
Yeah.
I love strength. So I choose boxing.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose something you love to do, so it's not a chore that you have to do it.
Right.
But I love boxing. I go to a gym called Brick House where there's boxing, there's yoga, and there's conditioning. So I can switch off, and I feel like that doesn't fatigue one part of my body too much, or I don't get bored either.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That does make you fierce. What's your talk track in your head right before you go to walk on stage?
I say a little prayer.
Uh-huh.
I say a little thank you to God so I don't fall.
Uh-huh.
And then I just take a deep breath and I go.
Okay.
I'm also very big on musicality.
Mm-hmm.
So I feed off of the music that's playing. So if it's fast, my tempo is going to go nice and fast. If it's more like ethereal, slow, relaxed, then I'll channel more like angelic.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to just hear the music and then everything just shuts off.
Okay.
And you kind of
black
out. And you just
I love that. Wow. So any other advice for aspiring models, like who have the fear factor, don't know how to get in, don't know how to get started, or they're just holding back?
I would say just start. That was a hard one for me. Just start, apply to everything, go to open calls, get a comp card. That's really important. So
where do you get that?
You find a photographer. It could be a friend if you want to start out, or you can look it up. And you just need some like basic digitals. So black tank top, black jeans, normal heels, and then you just take a photo from the front, from the side, from behind, and then just like a full body one. And you can put that together. I use Canva.
And stick it on a business card or something. And then do you put like your height, weight, contact?
Yeah, so you need to put your name,
card,
your height, your weight, your measurements, so like bust, waist, hips, your shoe size, and then an email address, because if they like you, they have to have a way of contacting you if you don't have an agent just yet.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you have an agent or agency, they will give you a comp card and you will use that wherever you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm encouraging patients of all ages. I see these gorgeous, glamorous 60-year-olds that are just like so refined. I'm like, you need to be a model.
Yeah.
Because like that's trending too, models of all different ages and like looking at women and men in all stages of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There will always be a need for models from like infanthood to very, very elderly. Like there's always room for something. Like there might be a campaign that needs a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old or an 80-year-old. Like
exactly.
If you want to do it, you should do it.
You should do it. And same goes for guys.
Yeah.
In the male model world, does it differ very much from the female model world?
I think so. It's hard on both sides for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think male models have their own form of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're shorter in height, you can't change it.
Yeah.
If you don't fit a certain build, you can't change it. Like, it's a little bit more critical, I think, on men to fit one certain standard.
Exactly. Like the Olympic Italian gold medal winner. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Wait till you see the feet on him. He just looks like he walked out of a Abercrombie Calvin Klein ad, and he's like so sculpted and handsome.
It's funny when you see like beautiful people in other industries, and I'm like, what? They could have been a model.
So true. What are your beauty tips and tricks that you use on yourself to stay so gorgeous?
Beauty by Dr. K, Katie Skin Products.
Oh, I didn't even tell her to say that.
No, my favorite thing of all time is the Stem Cell Moisturizer, the Transform.
I use
that religiously. When I don't use it, I can feel it in my skin, and I don't love the way I look without it. So I think having a really good skincare regimen is very important. The less makeup you wear, the better. I'm very minimalist with my makeup. I don't like to pack it on. I want my skin to breathe. And I think eating healthy, so having good gut health, having your insides be healthy, is also important. I'm still working on that aspect because I have a massive sweet tooth, but I work out and try to drink water to compensate for what I put in my body.
Those are easy, good tips.
Yeah, thank you.
Everything's so valuable. Where can people find you on your social handles if they want to reach out and stay in touch, connect?
Yes. So my Instagram and TikTok is at SaydaWord. So it's SaydaWord. SaydaWord. SaydaWord, and I'll be there.
SaydaWord. Just say the word. I've been telling you, you need to do like an online course for models.
I know.
You must do it. But models out there, send her a DM. She's so sweet. Every time I see an aspiring model, I'm like, oh my gosh, you need to follow this page with Say the Word and like DM her and she'll coach you. She's so sweet. I really think you should do your own model coaching program.
I know. I thought about it.
You're doing it. I'm manifesting it for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've even like coached people backstage with their walk because they're like, how do you do this? So I'll be back there and be like, okay, so this is how you have to do it. Adjust this. Adjust your life this way.
My models are my favorite people. They teach me how to pose. I look so much better on Instagram because I've learned these little tips and tricks and body modalities. Awesome. Well, this has been so fun chatting. I can't wait for you to blossom and grow even more in your career. I'm always watching you on the runway.
Thank you.
So proud of your work on Fashion Week and the Swimsuit Week and everything else.
Thank you. I can't wait to do something crazy big so that I can be like, this was the person that assisted me along the way.
Oh my gosh.
A Vogue cover shoot, Victoria's Secret runway, something.
You're going to do
huge.
It. Oh my God, I can see you on that.
I would love to. It's coming back, so we'll see.
I love it. Well, there you have it, guys. That's beauty tips and tricks straight from the mouth of the model, SaydaWord. And don't forget to follow her on the gram. You can check me out on Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. Our website is the same as beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find our amazing Transform Stem Cell Growth Factor that Seda loves and I love. You use that all over. I just like to dip myself in it and stay young and gorgeous.
Exactly.
That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.
Bye, guys. Thank you.